Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Georgia Recruiting Rumors versus Facts. And as you can see by the cover art on this episode tonight, Trent Smallwood and I have a busy, busy show here. A lot of visitors from the South Carolina game. So, Trent, man, it was a loaded weekend of recruiting. We've been trying as a UGA sports staff to try to catch up with all these guys and you know, see what we can come up with. So, you know, right off the bat, I mean, Arch Manning, it's as big as it gets. I think everybody might have saw him once or twice on TV, you know, just a couple of times. but it was a big event having football royalty there in Athens.
No doubt. And I think, you know, having Arch there, I don't think people realize, like, coming into this weekend maybe that Georgia was a legit contender. You've heard a lot more teams with Arch than Georgia. And you kind of look at it where they got Gunner, they got Brock Vandegrift. They're not going to land, you know, a lot of people say they're not going to land Arch in 23 too. But, you know, Georgia got a legit chance, you know. I think they've made that known. I think they having him on campus this weekend, it just shows how serious of a threat they are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Arch Manning is someone that wherever he goes – so, and let's say, you know, a threat in front of him to play. Alabama is obviously in there. Nick Saban and them will have a chance, but they've got quarterbacks there in front of him. You know, if he were to go there, Texas has, you know, two young quarterbacks right now that they really like that are there in front of him. So wherever he goes, Ole Miss is never going to be short of good quarterback play with Lane Kiffin. So wherever you go now in this, environment today in college football, you're going to have to play, but you're going to have to compete rather and not worry about who you're competing against. Just kind of do your own game. And I don't think there's a family out there that would kind of bring that mentality better than the Manning family. You know, obviously they're used to having success. They're used to, but they also are used to handling things with class and doing things kind of the right way out there. So Arch definitely is going to keep this recruitment close to his vest. But by all indications that we've gotten talking to other recruits that have been there, things like that, he really enjoyed his time. I mean, you saw it on the Pat McAfee show today, which was crazy. Eli mentioning that Arch doesn't care about NIL. He doesn't care about all this stuff. He thought it was just really cool that the student section had we want Arch on the Spike Squad over there. So, I mean, people forget these are 16, 17, 18-year-old kids at times that are going through these processes.
Right, and that's how you got to know how to recruit a kid. I'm coming from the Manning family. You know, money is probably not an issue. So focus on the nil with him is probably not a necessity, but focus on like the Spike Squad, putting out his name, stuff like that. That stuff really hits the home. And you know, I think he had another good visit to Georgia. This is probably his third visit.
He come in at least his second visit. I know he was there this summer. And the thing that Trent, that I think he had to be very impressed with, and I wrote this in the recruiting notes today, is the way that he got to see JT Daniels operate Georgia's offense. Yeah. There's not a better example of what a Manning style quarterback would do, because JT Daniels is like Peyton and Eli, not the, you know, most gifted athlete, you know, fleet of foot in the world. I mean, they can move when he needs to, but he's making checks at line of scrimmage. He's changing Georgia's runs. He in fact changed a run early in that game that ended up resulting in a touchdown for Georgia. You know, he changed the mic ID, did all that kind of stuff at the line of scrimmage, being able to change protections, work under center and in shotgun, and hit accurate deep balls as well as, you know, intermediate passing games. I thought JT really showcased everything that you could want to see out of a Georgia quarterback, and that's important when you got a guy like Arch Manning in there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the whole talk about, you know, you got to go to a dual threat guy to be successful, and that's not necessarily true. You know, the way the offense, if Georgia can stretch the field like they did this past weekend, get the running back involved, and they did certain things, different things with JT, they rolled him out a couple times. You know, they got him on the move. I thought a lot of people wanted him to, you know, bootleg it into the end zone when they were up by 30 and were taking a hit, but that probably wouldn't have been smart. But yeah, they showcased that talent. They showcased his ability to stretch the field, go vertical, and you know, I'm sure Arch and the family liked it.
Well, it's something that, you know, in terms of JT Daniels, I mean, even when you have a quarterback, even if they can just move just a little bit, Trent, if you look at the end zone shot of James Cook's touchdown run that Brent and Dane broke down, it's a gap scheme run. They're pulling the guard and tackle. And on the backside, you've got JT staring down a defensive end. He kind of just sits there for just a minute, and that's just enough to let that unblocked player not be part of the play. And James Cook ends up going to score. So there's a lot that goes into all this. But in terms of the recruiting, Arch Manning had a tremendous visit. And I'm going to throw up this cover once again that we had up here. You see Arch surrounded by his good friend here, Pierce Sperling, Reuben Owens, the running back from Texas. You got Michael Daugherty. You got Tony Mitchell out there to the left of Daugherty, and Justice Haynes, of course, Braden Joyner over on the far right. So that class of 2023 guys that were there together, if they're able to get that level of talent, even just a handful of those guys, not to mention some of the broader, you know, ancillary pieces that are around them, that class of 2023 is going to be special. And speaking of special, two guys in that picture, Trent, Pierce Sperling had 13 catches for 318 yards and 5 touchdowns in his game Friday night. And Justice Haynes had 36 carries for, I think, 336 yards. And 3 touchdowns. I mean, those are just two monster performances.
Yeah, 36 carries is a ton of carries. You know, I'm not sure. Does Georgia have a back with 36 carries on the year? I mean, through three games. But yeah, I mean, huge nights for both of them. You know, and Pierce has to like what Georgia's doing with the, you know, kind of the hybrid type guys, and like Brock Bowers, perfect example. You know, they're using Brock in the screen game, using Brock on the vertical game. I mean, using them all in different kind of ways. But you know, with him and Oscar Delp, they got a chance to put a couple special tight end flex guys classes together.
Well, think about this too. In that visit, there was Oscar Delp there, Pierce Sperling, who's committed to Georgia. Oscar Delp a couple weeks away from a commitment decision. It looks good for Georgia in our opinion there. And also Georgia legacy, Lawson Lucky was there with those three. They took a picture with Todd Hartley there on the field before the game. And think about this tight end room that they could have at the University of Georgia. You know, obviously Brock Bowers, but, you know, you add just for 1 year, Darnell Washington, Brock Bowers, and Oscar Delp all in the same room at least. So that could be some big-time stuff. And depending on who sticks around, it could be for more than that. But everybody expects, I think, Darnell to be a three-and-done type guy. But there's going to be a load of talent just stockpiled in the tight end room. And Kirby Smart talked about it today. The tight end position is changing.
Yep.
And offenses in general are changing. Brock Bowers leads this team in reception through three games, which I don't think anybody, even those who were like you and I, were pretty high on Brock coming into this year. I don't even think we assumed that he would kind of take that kind of role on this team to start off with.
No, not at all. I mean, there's about 8 other guys I would have predicted in front of Brock Bowers. There's nothing against him. We didn't know the Darnell Washington would be hurt or injured, and then – and on top of that, Georgia hasn't utilized the tight ends for a ton of catches like they have Brock early on. And I think that's a testament of the direction that this Georgia offense is going. You know, they're using those flex guys. And I thought Saturday, you know, I've always been disappointed in the offense not utilizing their playmakers. And I thought they did it, you know, for the first time. I mean, they got these guys out in open space. They got the tight ends the ball. They got McIntosh and Cook involved in both the running and the passing game. And I thought it was just, I mean, they displayed this offense perfectly for those recruits.
No doubt. And like I said, Oscar Delp, I spoke with him and he mentioned to me that it's just the way that Georgia is playing right now. He said it's just dominant in all phases. He loves kind of the atmosphere. This is, you know, first time really, you know, getting to experience everything there in Athens, you know, kind of full stop. So he really, really enjoyed his time there. He said that Pierce Berlin, Jalen Walker, all those guys were in his ear the whole night, you know, trying to talk him up. So Oscar Delp had plenty of guys trying to, you know, influence him there with a couple of weeks left in his recruitment. And Trent kind of, you know, that's some of the big names that we've touched on, and we're going to get to more of them here in our questions. So we're going to go ahead and take those from the members of the vault. The first one, as you can see, going down there across the bottom of the page, and I'll read them off too. It says, "Dog." This is from Dog Bite You. Of our priority prospects that you think we don't lead with as their top choice, who did we gain the most ground with Saturday? Well, coming into the weekend, I think everybody assumed that Anai White was going to be more of an Ohio State type guy. But Trent, you and I were talking off air, not that one game ever makes a difference. You know, like we talked that the Clemson Georgia game wasn't going to make or break somebody's commitment or make or break their recruitment, right? But a trend in defense that you've been seeing out of Ohio State last year and them being atrocious through the first three games this year, and then couple that with the trend of Georgia year in and year out having the best defense, and now add on top of it, they're getting not only getting pressure, but they're getting home and creating those sacks and those forced fumbles and those tackles for a loss that they weren't previous years with Adam Anderson and Nolan Smith and Trayvon Walker and all those guys. It gets pretty enticing to a guy like Anai White.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, he's kind of in the Adam Anderson mold as far as his frame and stuff, and just seeing Adam Flyer. I mean, Adam Anderson's literally unblockable right now. And just seeing, you know, letting Nolan Smith just turning them loose, you know, turning them loose off the edge, and just watching those guys fly around, how they use them. And just the different ways that how they're being utilized, and how Georgia's defense is playing as a whole. And I think it's home with not only White, but a lot of defensive recruits around the country.
Yeah, I other guys that I would throw in that category, I don't think Ernest Green was someone that people thought Georgia necessarily led with before this visit. I think they do coming out of this visit because of just his family seems to love the University of Georgia. Adam Gorney, or the national director of recruiting for Rivals, was in communication with Ernest and his family, and really just made it clear that it seems like Georgia's the front runner for the big offensive tackle that could also play guard. You know, he's kind of both ways with that body type, but he's a guy that I think Georgia made up a lot of ground with, and maybe even comes out a leader with. And then the other one, Trent, would be Reuben Owens II. Out of Texas. Reuben Owens at one point was committed to the University of Texas, but now coming out to Georgia, we're still, you know, trying to get a hold of Reuben and his father, kind of talk about him and see how that visit went. But by all indications, Reuben seemed to, and other guys I've talked to in the class of 2023 said that Reuben was kind of blown away with the visit to University of Georgia. I mean, how big would it be? I know they're definitely going after Justice Haynes as a legacy for the Georgia program, but would comparing that those two styles of Reuben Owens and Justice Haynes.
Oh, I mean, that would be huge. I mean, that's like landing your, you know, Georgia's done it in the past. They've landed their Gurley and Marshall. They've landed their Zeus and Cook. You know, they've I can't even remember the other pair they had.
Chubb and Michelle.
So they've done it, and they've been successful in putting multiple running backs in the NFL. I mean, even if you take two in a class, they're putting two NFL running backs in a class. And I think the way Georgia's utilizing these guys is you know, you might only get 8-10 carries a game, but they're also utilizing in different ways. They're putting Lyndon James Cook and Kenny McIntosh up at wide receiver. You know, sending them, putting them on screen passes, you know, sending them on sweeps and jet sweeps and stuff like that. And so I think as a running back, I think a lot of them are buying into what the way they're being utilized on the offense.
I think it was Kenny McIntosh that they lined up in a trip set out wide. He was the number one receiver closest to South Carolina's sideline, and on a third down play ran a little tunnel screen almost with him, and he catches it and picks up a first down. Mm-hmm. That's a big play. That's a creative play. That's something that utilizes your player's skill sets, and a guy like a Reuben Owens, is that type of back that can go out and do a lot of different things. He's dangerous on the perimeter. And then you Justice Haynes, we talked about it earlier. He had 36 carries in his last ball game. Justice Haynes is looking forward to getting to college so he doesn't have to work as hard as because in high school they're giving that man the rock. I mean, he is carrying the load. The next question here is from Colony City Dog. Please give us your thoughts on Anaya White as a player, how he stacks up against others we have recruited at the position, and where the Dogs stand currently in his recruitment. Well, Trent, you already compared him a little bit to an Adam Anderson type mold. I don't know if he's that finished of a product yet. He's almost a bigger guy right now where he could go either way. He could end up being like a Trayvon Walker, more hand in the dirt type guy. Ohio State, I know, was going to use him as a true 4-3 defensive end, but he's also got the athletic ability to be a stand up like Jack linebacker type player.
Yeah, Anaya is just you can use him in either way. I think
you know, would you compare him to?
Player wise or recruiting wise?
Well, like it, people that Georgia's recruited in the past that they've ended up landing. Is there anybody that comes to mind that you would kind of compare him to?
I know, you know, he's small. He's a little bigger than like Anderson and Floyd was coming out, but he's smaller than say Davin Bellamy. Maybe Lorenzo Carter.
He's long.
He's long. He's 245. He's quick off the edge, similar to what you're seeing in Athens now, and he's it, like I said, you know, he's not a finished product. You know, he's got potential. The ceiling's high there, and it'd be interesting to see. But I know Georgia would definitely utilize him off the edge.
Yeah, he's listed right now at Rivals at 6'5", 230, but I think he's gained a little weight since that last measurement was taken. He's probably closer to the 240 range. So I definitely see him, you know, that's a good comparison in my book with what you said about Lorenzo there. Now our next question is from What's Up Dog. Would the chapel bells ring if Arch Manning committed to the Dogs? Just asking for a friend. Man,
it'd be a lot more ringing than that.
It'd be more than that. I mean, you might see Jer Moorhead and Josh Brooks run naked down the streets of Athens because there's going to be so much money that comes along with that situation. It's not just you're not just getting a great high school talent in Arch Manning. You're getting a whole entourage of media. It's media coverage. It's money. It's exposure for your program. Because the Mannings, I said it on the post-game overreaction show, Mannings equal ratings. That's what happened. You see what happens with Peyton and Eli now that their careers are over, they're taking full advantage of it. Arch Manning would be Arch Manning in terms of the total package, Trent, could be one of the most influential recruits that the game's seen.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't see any 12 o'clock games with Arch Manning at quarterback. Yeah. just the ratings alone, just the publicity around the program. I mean, it should be huge. There's a lot more that goes into it than just landing Arch Manning. You're landing a lot more on the outside. And you know, Georgia has a legit chance. You know, they put themselves in contention. They put themselves in a good spot, and that's the only thing they could ask for at this moment.
Yeah, I think people need to understand too with Arch, there's connections not only with Todd Monken having his NFL time and stuff like that, and Peyton and Eli Manning seem to have connections with everybody that's ever been in the NFL. They've been pen pals, all this kind of stuff. You know, Peyton likes to write those letters to everybody, but Peyton Manning and Kirby Smart are good friends. Also, Matt Luke is good friends with Eli and Arch because of his time at Ole Miss. Will Muschamp's family has connections to the Manning family. You know, there's a lot that goes into this background here. So, and then Pierce Sperling being one of Arch's better friends. It isn't at Isidore Newman. Pierce Sperling and Arch Manning, they talk nearly every day. So that's a big plus for the University of Georgia right there. And you know, I guarantee you Pierce told him, hey, dude, I went for, you know, 318 and 5 touchdowns last night, you know, when they were there together on Saturday. So that's got to be an enticing thing for a guy like Arch Manning. J-Doggy, any idea on Kojo and if the game on Saturday made any movement at all, his commitment to OSU? I was surprised to see him walk down those steps, Trent. I didn't really expect to. That's one guy that I saw there that I didn't expect to see there. And a lot of players were shocked. Jalen Walker, I talked to him. He couldn't really believe that Kojo was there because he just hadn't heard much out of him. But I think him showing up at that game, obviously he's a hometown guy. A lot of guys were there. It could be as simple as him wanting, you know, to see the atmosphere, you know, have something to do on a Saturday night. But plus it's, you know, you're able just to come and enjoy a game. But Georgia does need one more very, very talented receiver in this class. And if you know, Luther Burden, it's kind of coming down, I think, to Georgia and Missouri. If they were to strike out on him, who knows what would happen with them putting even more pressure on a Kojo Antwi.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we sit here and talked about spots a few weeks ago. Well, with this new NCAA rule and stuff going on where they can take more guys, you might see two more receivers taken in this class. It's just, you know, you just don't know how those will be utilized. But it'll be interesting to see because, at the end of the day, I think there's going to be more guys that want to come than spots available in this class. And just the way it's trending right now and the way recruiting is going on. Because, you know, at this time last week, we didn't think Anaya White was – we really wouldn't even consider him last Monday. We were talking more about Shamar Stewart and Michael Williams. And now all of a sudden, you know, what Shamar might want to jump on. Michael might want to flip, you know. So I think there's going to be more spots than Georgia has available, but I guess that's a good thing in recruiting.
It is a good thing. Now, Trent, in terms of my understanding, the plus seven rule that the NCAA just enacted will be available for this upcoming class, correct? Like where you get the seven added depending on the transfer portal that – you know, if up to seven players transfer, you can get that extra spots in a class. You can go from 25 to 32. So Georgia did have a lot. I think they had 11 transfer out last year. So, you know, that number is fluid for the University of Georgia, and we'll just have to see what happens. And that may, honestly, it's not like the coaches are going to go in there and say, hey, you need to transfer, but coaches have their way of making life not easy on guys that necessarily aren't cutting the mustard in the program.
And I think you'll start seeing those transfer decisions happen more in December. You know, a lot of, you know, some of them happen in the spring after they find out kind of where they sit on the depth chart. But I think you'll see a lot of those start happening, you know, in December to start seeing how many spots you have available.
No doubt. Primetime Dog says between Michael Williams and Shamar Stewart, who do you think ends up in this class? I would say if it's me today and I'm saying there's only room for one of them, that's saying, okay, you got Darius Smith, you got CJ Madden, you have CJ Washington, who's probably going to play outside linebacker as well. Jalen Walker's a tweener. He could play either one. So, you know, really that would end up being five guys that could potentially play, you know, outside backer. Now, Shamar Stewart's a little bit bigger. He's more around 270 pounds and could be more in the Trayvon Walker type role, which is what somebody pointed out on the vault today. But as far as I know and everything, every conversation I've had with him, Trent, they are recruiting him to be a guy who can stand up and play outside linebacker as well as hand in the ground. So I'm saying Michael, if it were today, who do you believe?
Yeah, I think it would be Michael as of today. You know, I think, you know, Shamar, who he's considering right now, you know, they're kind of struggling, I would say, Florida State, that is. Yeah. And but, you know, with him, Michael being a Georgia guy and with the connections to Christian Miller and some of the Georgia commits, CJ Madden and that, Tyree West, you know, I would go with Michael as of today.
Yeah, and, you know, Michael, hey, he did take a visit to Florida this past week and saw Florida turn in a good performance against Alabama, so that situation is definitely going to be fluid. Guys on the chat, we see you over there. We're going to get all our vault members' questions first, but guys like Ray Tao, Tony Jackson, Brent Patterson, we see all you guys over there. Thank you for tuning in, but we're going to get to all of our we answer all of the questions of our vault members first on here. OU Herschel Walker says, in your opinion, is Georgia if Georgia is able to land Luther Burden, would they make room for Kojo Antwi if he decides to flip later in the process, or would they be done? I think it depends on those spots. You know, I just think it, you know, it, and the need. Wide receiver, yes, they there's a need at wide receiver, but if Georgia's healthier this year, their wide receiver position, you know, looks a lot better. Plus, they've got Dylan Bell, Denylon Morissette in this class, a crafty, you know, speedy type guy, and Cole Spear coming in. If they land Luther Burden, I don't know necessarily how much need there is for a guy like Kojo. What are your thoughts on that, Trent?
Yeah, and I think it'll depend on when you get to December and you find out, you know, what kind of what guys might be transferring out, what guys might, you know, elect that route. Just it'll be need-based, you know, filling those extra spots. I think right now, as it stands with a 25, when not thinking about transfers, they need to have a need for one. And I think that number one would be, as we talked about, Luther Burden or Shaz Preston. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you got maybe a transfer or a wide receiver like to transfer out or you know, explore their opportunities, I think you might see an extra wide receiver taken. So I think it'll all be on need-based when it gets to December.
No doubt. Mikey P1983 says, is there an odd man out between White, Stewart, and Michael Williams? I would say, as we talked about earlier, we can touch that one real quick. I think Stewart would be the third out of those two, just because of not necessarily out of the order that Georgia wants those players, but just of kind of the trend right now with those players. But I think Georgia is 100% in it on all three. Anai White, of course, a lot of momentum this weekend. But Trent, I think that, you know, we've already kind of touched on that one, so we can move on from there. Trent, you still with me? You froze up, man. Can you hear me? I may have lost Trent there for a second. I'm going to go solo on this one until Trent pops back. How many OL do we sign this year? Any true offensive tackles? You know, in terms of true offensive tackles, I think whether it's a guy like a Ernest Green or Jacob Hood, both of those guys are big enough and, you know, move well enough where they could bump inside the guard, do things like that. They can play some tackle at will. But Georgia's so stacked at offensive tackle right now that I just don't know if there's that big of a need for a true offensive tackle. Of course, you got Griffin Scroggs, who's going to be an interior offensive lineman. So there's not as big of a need. I think in terms of the number that you end up with, I think that would be, honestly, I think at this point, it's going to be three. So I think whether it's Elijah Pritchett, which I don't know if that's a realistic possibility right here on both sides of the equation, and then Ernest Green as well. I think that's the one that you got to keep your eye on if you're looking at things for Georgia. Realistic UGA fan 1191 version 2.0, as always, with a great question here. He says, which recruits did we make a huge? There's Trent coming back at us. Here we go. All right, he's back. There you go, Trent. So the last question that we got here, Trent, is which recruits did Georgia make a huge push for this weekend besides Anai White? I think we kind of touched on that earlier. I think that it was a great visit for Ernest Green, a great visit for Reuben Owens II. Is there anybody else that kind of comes to mind for you that obviously Arch Manning? Is there anybody else that kind of comes to mind for you that you think Georgia might have made some progress with?
I mean, it depends on Kojo, you know, with that whole situation. And as far as the younger guys, I think they made a move. Christian Miller, those guys, you know, what prospect wouldn't like what they saw, you know, in a night game on Saturday night? But, you know, we're going to sit back and wait for that visit high to kind of wear off and then see where they stand maybe, you know, next weekend and see if that hype is still around.
No doubt. And some of the guys over here on the UGA on the UGA Sports YouTube channel that are commenting, we'll talk a lot about some of your stuff as well here. I'm just going to touch Dylan Prothman. We see you guys on there. But I see, you know, he's kind of stirring things up over there. People giving giving some heck back and forth. So just wanted to shout out all those guys. Don't really see any questions that we can hit over there, but in terms of recruiting coming up, guys, I'm going to be right after I get off this feed, I'm going to be calling a couple of guys that I've been lining up talks with. So over at UGASports.com, make sure you're subscribing to this YouTube channel right now. If you don't subscribe already, do us a favor, hit the subscribe button. Also, turn on notifications, the little bell over there. So every time we go live, you get a little notification on your phone or on your mobile device. And then also hit a like for us. If you could, hit the thumbs up, hit a like. That really helps out the page a lot. Leave your comments. We'd love to have your feedback that we can analyze and go through next week. Anything you want to see on the show. But Trent, you know, I think coming up, we're just going to be trying to reach out to some of these guys. You've got a decision coming up, I think, on Friday with Jonathan Hewley, Bo Hewley out of Langston Hughes. What are your thoughts on big Bo Hewley as his commitment date comes up right before we go here?
I like where Georgia stands. I like where Georgia stands for him. And honestly, I think this is going to be a big offensive line class for Georgia. And, you know, they don't have to go far. You know, you got Braden Jordan and Auburn. Of course, you got Madden Sanker and those guys. So, you know, they can really stay in state and have a lot of success. And, of course, you know, they'll go out and maybe land an out-of-state guy, a big offensive tackle or something. But, you know, they can have a lot of success just within the state.
No doubt. And, Trent, you and I will both be over at Mill Creek and Grayson this upcoming Friday night. They've got guys like Walt Flynn Clair that's over there that is a big offensive lineman in the 2024 class. We'll see Michael Daugherty. We'll see Caleb Downs. We'll see JoJo Stone. So there is a lot of talent over there. If you want to see a good ball game, head over to Mill Creek on this Friday night. Jed's going to be going and seeing Cedartown take on Calhoun in a matchup of Georgia commits with CJ Washington taking on Cole Spear over there. So just, you know, another good Friday night of football action. And we have all of it covered. Also team action. Make sure to tune in to Jim Donnan and Roddy and Dane's show tomorrow as they get ready for the Georgia program's getting ready for Vanderbilt to kind of take over Nashville once again. But Trent, I enjoyed it, man. And we'll that's kind of all we have for tonight. Now I'm going to go call these other prospects that I got.
Sounds good, man.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Like I said, subscribe, turn on notifications, hit the like button, and we will catch you next Monday night on another live edition of UGA Sports Georgia Recruiting Rumors versus Facts. Have a good one.